Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers, and we are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Here we are in the middle of, I guess, the end of spring now, almost into summer, and we're in New Orleans, and we are hoping that this show will go off without a hitch. It's been our third tornado warning for the past 2 weeks. It's been incredible here in the South. I don't know what's going on with the weather. Do you? You know, and we are just going to move right along. We have a great show today. It's all about heart health. That, I guess, can also be similar up to the weather. You know, you keep waiting, you know, oh, it's raining, oh, it's a little storm, it's a little shower, we're good to go. And until that really flood comes along to stop you in your tracks, hey, you're not going to make any changes. Same thing with your heart. Let's think about that, you know. We say, oh, I go, I have my blood pressure checked. All that's really telling you is how high the meter can go when you're ready to explode. Is that really preventative health? And then they say, oh, but I'm taking some drugs to hold it down. Well, to me, I kind of think of that as, you know, maybe we're just looking at holding on the meter on the top. So here on Alternative Medicine Wellness, we always like to talk about different ways we could think about our health. So maybe what we've been taught before, we've kind of held on to before, what always seemed like dogma to us, or that's the way the world works. Maybe there's some different ways. And it's just all about opening up that can and saying, I wonder what's in it. So we're all about opening up the can of heart health today. Let all the mystery beans come out. Fabulous guests today. I have two guests today. The first is Dr. Jack Wolfson. He's the author of The Paleocardiologist, and he's going to be sharing all of his practical solutions for cardiovascular health, you know, like nutrition, you know, chemical avoidance, sleep, relaxation, supplements, the blood tests we should have done, and hey, you know that old saying, you know, I don't really need to know all of that. My doctor takes care of that. I'm not going to worry about that. Well, if you keep on handing out all those little cards, you know, your deck of your cards of your power over to somebody else, eventually you're going to end up with an empty hand. And what we're really trying to do is get you back some of those cards so you can start playing a really good game. And Dr. Jack is really the best at that. Also, Dr. Heather Wolfson will be with us today. She's going to be talking about chiropractic health and how that's so vitally important for our heart health. And you say, what's a chiropractor got to do with heart health? Well, you know, it's all about the structure of our body, and chiropractors work with the structure of our body. I like to think of chiropractors as what I call them as angel movers, because what they're really doing is getting our structure of our body to just line up to flow better. You know, if we keep seeming like we're going against the grain, maybe we need to pop, you know, a few of those little crackling parts away so we can start flowing better. And not be so resistant, and not be so stuck, and not be so not going with the flow, because that really is what causes disease. So it's really great to have Dr. Jack with us today. Dr. Jack, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and let's hope we get through this time, right?
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again, Dr. Jeanette. My aunt actually lives in Houston, Texas, and I'm getting updates from her all the time about the storms they're having there and the flooding and the power outages. So my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in that situation that's having to deal with that. But I think exactly like you said, it's going to make us stronger. It's an experience.
Yeah.
As much as you can, try and glean some positive from these events and really try and focus on all the wonderful things in our lives.
And, I really related, I think, don't you think, to heart health, Are we going to wait until, the rivers wash us away to do something about it, or are we going to be stronger in the meantime? And I really think that that's so vitally important, is to really relate, why do I even need to bother about my heart, Hey, I go to the doctor, it's all taken care of. And you and I just sit back and go, okay then, right?
Right, no, for sure. People have often asked me that, well, I don't need to see a cardiologist, yet.
Right.
I'm not ready, for someone like you. But the reality is that you want to see a holistic natural doctor before something bad happens. You don't want it to be after you've had a heart attack, after you've had a stroke,
right,
after you've had congestive heart failure. We need to do. We need to be proactive, and by being proactive, by doing things in a preventive fashion, we can do amazing things, with our body to help prevent all diseases from cancer, heart disease, dementia, you name it.
It's so interesting. I really think, in this show, we've done a lot of what I call awakening. It's just all about planting seeds. And you've done a great job of that with your new book. Your new book out is called The Paleo Cardiologist, The Natural Way to Heart Health. And I think it's so important to talk about that, too. We'll go through that over the hour. But also just say that, what is a natural cardiologist? What is that? I don't even know what heart disease is. So let's talk about that too. Many people say heart disease, that's what my grandmother has. I don't have to worry about that till I'm 80 or 90. When really, it doesn't all of a sudden come upon you one day and it's there. It's sort of like we can correlate this to menopause. Menopause doesn't happen in one day. You know what I mean? You've been getting
right
there. You're on the front end of it and you're on the back end of it for years. So it's really about talking about the progression, how you're setting yourself up and where you're going with it, I really think, don't you?
I definitely do. We clearly know from studies, even on newborn babies, they show evidence of some mild plaquing or some fatty streaks.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that in those that were killed during wars, and they came back and they did autopsies on 18-year-old men and essentially boys, and found that there was evidence of mild coronary artery disease, aortic plaquing. So the roots of blockages start when we're a newborn, maybe even in utero, because the foods that mom is eating, the toxins that she is exposed to, whether it's cigarettes or it's plastics or air pollution in the environment, those things all start to impact our health and certainly our cardiovascular health from a very early age. And we need to educate these women even before they get pregnant to really start cleaning up their diet, cleaning out the chemicals, and really promoting these things that are going to lead to a healthy offspring. We know that children that are breastfed have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. We know women that breastfeed have a lower risk of heart disease. So educating right from the very beginning, this should be stuff that's fundamental in high school teachings.
Right.
To get this information out there, it is absolutely critical.
It's the funniest thing, because I was speaking on a radio show the other day, and I think we were talking about sex education, and they were kind of saying, it needs to be back into the school, and I was really trying to revert it back to maybe if we taught biology, and starting in kindergarten, people would learn more respect for their own body in the first place, and then be able to be stronger by the time they're 18 for, taking care of themselves. And, You would have thought that I said a nasty list of dirty words, you know, because they just didn't get it. So I really think that's what we're here about, is saying, don't worry if you don't get it the first time. Don't worry if this really sounds foreign, what Dr. Jack and I are saying. Don't really worry if all of it you're saying, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but it really doesn't fit my paradigm. Really be open and listen and say, you know what? I'm going to listen through to the show. I'm going to say, I don't know what it means, but I'm sure there's things I'm going to be able to take from this. And that's what you and I are really striving to do, is to say it's time to start slowly, but it is time to start something. So, Dr. Jack, can you tell us a little bit, what do you call, quote, heart disease?
Well, heart disease, you're right, is kind of a blanket term. And under that blanket, you'd say there's high blood pressure, there is coronary artery blockages, or it could be a heart rhythm problem such as atrial fibrillation, or it could be a blockage in other arteries leading to strokes or kidney disease or discomfort on walking, what's called PAD or peripheral arterial disease. Erectile dysfunction is in so many cases a circulatory problem with another form of ED called endothelial dysfunction, where the lining of the blood vessels does not work appropriately. So when I refer to heart disease, I kind of encompass all those things. But I think in general, when people think about heart disease, they're probably thinking about coronary artery blockages, blockages in the arteries that supply the actual heart muscle that, when blocked, can lead to symptoms of chest pain or shortness of breath, or if they become suddenly blocked, can lead to a heart attack.
And what we would think about the normal treatment, we would say, would be normally drugs. And you do the drugs until it gets so out of control that you end up with surgery or a what I call cardiac event or a heart life-ending event. Could be heart attack, could be stroke, could be whatever that might be for you. But what's so vitally important to say is that, is the treatment supposed to help you reverse your heart disease, or is the treatment supposed to improve your overall health so that your heart can then start healing itself and getting better? And we all know now that the current treatments, many of them, are what we would say putting the lid on the can. And when you get another event, we are further cementing that lid on the can. But then all of a sudden, the lid on the can isn't what's blowing out. It's the bottom of the can. And it's so funny when you even think about heart. We, you know, with blood pressure, you're looking at trying to keep it down, keep it down, keep it down with medications and drugs. And that's really your vessels and your arms and your head and your brain and your legs and everything. And really what we're doing is we're putting that lid on the can harder and harder, and guess what blows out? The bottom of the heart. Isn't that interesting? The bottom of the heart blows out, and that's exactly what I just said, is the bottom of the can blows out. So, Dr. Jack, can you tell us, you know, what you think about the current treatments and, you know, really that we can make a big difference, and you're here to say you can make a difference, correct?
No, you can definitely make a difference. You can make a tremendous difference. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The reality is that the treatments that we're currently using, and obviously I talk about this a lot in my book, the treatments that we're using as far as pharmaceuticals have minimal, if any, benefit. From a true conspiracy standpoint, we can say that the pharmaceutical companies are the ones that are doing the studies. Therefore, all data can be, you know, put into question. And that's been documented in mainstream journals about questioning the validity of the studies that are out there. And a lot of these studies wind up getting proved false in the long term. But let's take them for what they are. The reality is, in best case scenario, the pharmaceuticals have minimal benefit. I talk about aspirin in my book for primary prevention, which is a joke. Yet it's pushed all over us. The Bayer Corporation actually went to the FDA a few months back and asked them for permission to change the labeling on aspirin to say it works to prevent heart attacks and strokes for primary prevention, meaning the person has never had an event. And the FDA said to the Bayer Corporation, no, you can't put that on the label because we don't find any evidence that aspirin works to prevent heart attacks or strokes in people that have never had a heart attack or stroke. So when it comes to the pharmaceuticals, statin drugs obviously jump to mind, the Crestor, Zocor, Lipitors, And do they work according to studies? Yes. But the benefit is small, something like 8% versus 6%. And the 6% group is the drug group. Well, that's only a 2% difference. And I don't want my patients or myself to have an 8% or a 6% chance. I want to work to have a 0% chance. That is
right.
The ultimate goal. And we're not going to get there with pharmaceuticals. We're going to get there with getting rid of the cause. And the cause is poor nutrition. The cause is chemical toxins. The cause is lack of physical activity, lack of sleep, and stress. So for those people that are out there and listening in the lands where it's storming right now, stress is a bad thing. And stress, and you throw that into heavy activity along with that stress, and it's a recipe for a disaster. So we want to be mindful of that. I do want to go back to one thing that you said, though, before, you know, regarding the education process. I mean, I love mm-hmm. education. I went through so much of it in my lifetime. I'm a huge history buff. But what is really more important to the high school student? Should it be learning about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, things like that? I mean, history is very important, but how much more important really is how to take care of our bodies and that health aspect, that health training? I wish I had that in my mind when I was 16 years old and 18 years old, and certainly during my college years when you're doing things that are very harmful to the body. We need to really, as you said, start the education process early.
You know, it's so funny you should say that, because my comment on that radio show was that it was about time we start looking at where we are and going forward and stop looking at where we've come from. It doesn't matter. We all get that Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Everybody knows that by 2 years old. Let it go, people. You don't need to keep pounding it in your head, you know, into high school years. And it's really about looking about where we are and where we're going that's so vitally important, because if we don't, our years will come down shorter and shorter. I mean, everybody's saying, but I'm taking all this anti-aging stuff. I'm going to last forever. And I'm thinking, okay, have at it, you know. But really, so many people need some extra help. They need to know how they can take care of themselves day to day. And we really are missing that.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. And that's really the purpose of my book. The purpose of my book is to educate the people, educate the public, to inform the patient. I mean, so much, you know, what you're doing, you're not giving medical advice on this show. I'm not giving medical advice.
Right.
We're telling you, here's the information. Get informed, learn, and then if you want, take that to your doctor and demand better from that doctor. Because the doctors in a 10-minute office visit are not giving you the time you need to inform you about the risks and benefits of pharmaceuticals, the risks and benefits of procedures, the risks and benefits of vaccines. You have to become informed, and you have to do your own homework. I mean, you don't have to be a doctor over it, but you can read plenty of information through books on the internet. Most of it is actually good information and eye-opening, and then you make your opinion as far as what's best for you. If you learn about the drugs and you learn about statin drugs and you just say, okay, you know what, 8% or 6%, you know what, that's a 2% benefit. I'll take my chances with that. I want that 2% benefit. Okay, fine. Now you're informed and you go on the drug. But what so often happens in the medical office is the patient comes in and the doctor says, this is what you need to have done. The risks are very low, and let's hop to it. And there was actually a very recent study that showed that regarding angiograms, the procedure, the heart catheterization, where us cardiologists go in with tubes up into the arteries to take a look around to see if there's blockages, only 3% of the time was a patient given fully informed consent. 3% of the time.
Yeah.
The percentage that patients were given an alternative, 1/4 of the time were patients given an alternative solution to the invasive angiogram. I did it for years. Doctors strong-arm patients to do what the doctor wants. The doctor has a lot of motivation financially for a lot of these decisions also, and the patients are the ones that are getting harmed in the long term and the short term.
And that's what we're really here about, is about saying, these are the words, that they are using, and how can we explain them a little bit better? And I think that's what's so very, very important, because when you go into the doctor, you don't know the language. It's sort of like saying, I'm going to take a kindergarten child and I'm going to put him in the doctor's office and he'll make that decision. Really, when that's an adult and they're into the cardiologist and they really can't make that decision, they don't even know what they're saying. It's really, they're just at that mercy, and we don't want that to happen. So Dr. Jack, you know, I think your book is really great on talking about all of the different items. Like, let's even start out with cholesterol. You know, every time I hear people say, oh, I got to get it lower, it's sort of like this race that they're on to get their cholesterol below 75. I heard someone say one day, and it was a male, his cholesterol was 69. It wasn't that great. He was going to live forever. And I just, you know, you just want to say, time to stop and rethink this cholesterol thing. So you talk about it a lot in your book. Can you share your thoughts on cholesterol?
Sure. You know, in organizing the book, it was a matter of what we're going to put first, what we're going to talk about first. And after I told the story of my transition to a natural, holistic, integrative cardiologist, whatever you want to call me, and the paleo cardiologist, I talk about the story of my father, and I talk about obviously meeting my wife and how she changed me into the natural world. So I know everything that the conventional cardiologist knows, because I am that doctor, and I know the natural side, and I choose to practice naturally whenever possible. But the first chapter we decided to call Cholesterol is King, because I wanted to use that chapter to say, okay, this is cholesterol, this is why it's important, this is why lowering it can be harmful, and now that we've debunked the myth of cholesterol being so harmful, now you will believe me when I talk about everything else in the book. And when it comes to cardiology, certainly cholesterol and the topic of cholesterol is at the forefront of everything that we discuss. And people need to understand that this molecule is in our bodies. It is there for many, many, many reasons. Whoever built us, call that person God, evolution, our creator, gave us and every other mammal and animal species cholesterol and LDL. It's critically important, and people need to understand that. So chapter two is all about LDLs and HDLs and some of these particles that get thrown around by doctors and even on television when they call the LDL the bad cholesterol. I mean, that is blatant false advertising to call LDL bad cholesterol. It is there for a reason. It serves a purpose. And we need to educate ourselves to know what that purpose is before we start thinking about taking drugs to lower those numbers down.
Because they really, you need cholesterol to form your hormones. And, you know, we think of that. The first thing with your heart problem is they want to give you a statin, which will hold you back. Then that affects a lot of your hormones and your cholesterol issues. Then you're ending up with libido issues and all of the. So in other words, you bought the train. You know, and sometimes it's hard to get off that train because you don't want to transfer. You just want off the train. And don't you think that that's really hard for some people to be able to see that?
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, people obviously, they have an inborn ability basically to trust their doctor. They learned it in the, you know, especially older folks, they learned it in the 60s and 70s and 80s, what the doctor said was gospel, because you had no other avenue to research. Mm-hmm. Back in those days, what your doctor said was the way it went. I mean, they did all the studying. They went to school. You know, you didn't. But now, with books, with the internet, with so many amazing things that you can learn from, you can educate yourself so well and really question your doctor and decide, you know, if these, you know, drugs are right for you. You know, 30, 40 years ago, if you asked your doctor about, you know, the side effects of penicillin, for example. Or a blood pressure drug that was new on the market, they could just tell you a couple things and don't worry about it. And where would you go, you know, for further information? There was none. There was no place. Well, now there is. And once again, it's about getting educated on that. But we're in a major crisis in this country, as we all know. You know, the financial situation. You know, with Medicare, Medicaid, it's a major problem. And the current medical system just is a failure. It just cannot work the way it is. And by switching to a natural health-based approach, we can do absolute wonders, absolute wonders.
You know, Dr. Jack, we're just going to touch on this for 1 second, but I was wondering your thoughts on, since you are a cardiologist, your thoughts on, there was a huge discussion on the boards about palliative care and about continuing statins in the palliative care time or hospice time. And you look at it and you go, what is quite the point of all these medications? And, you know, do people have these miracle times where their heart all of a sudden spontaneously does heal and they're good to go and then they're out of palliative care, out of hospice, and they last, living to maybe another 20 years? There are those miracles, and I think really what everybody's looking for is to continue those medications up to the last minute, still always having that hope in their mind. Don't you think that's really what they're looking at, is to keep that hope there?
Well, statin drugs, if they do anything, they're preventive over the long term. And if someone is in palliative care or they're in hospice where it is estimated that their life expectancy is less than 6 months, there is clearly no evidence at all of any benefit of taking statin drugs in that scenario. And my personal recommendation would be to take somebody off those drugs. They barely work in any population,
right,
let alone in someone who's at that end of life time. The end of life, you know, time. You know, if they're in hospice, it's because they've got end stage cancer or end stage dementia or some kind of infection or end stage heart disease, and you know, statin drugs and most pharmaceuticals have no role there. The only pharmaceuticals there that have a role are things that keep someone comfortable, and there are no cardiovascular drugs that keep someone comfortable. So that's
the
time
true.
For you know, for morphine and spiritual, you know, healing and whatnot. That's you know, that's true comfort. But cardiovascular drugs, you know, to worry about blood pressure control on someone who has end-stage cancer is really laughable. There's no point in doing
right.
that.
Right. In other words, those
side effects.
The first tagline on those drugs is not improve quality of life. You know, so that's
no,
you know,
no
that's
doubt.
Not what they,
no
yeah.
I've
so
never
I
had
have
a patient come in to say that they feel better on statin drugs, or they feel better now that their blood pressure is, you know, controlled on pharmaceuticals. Everybody always feels worse. It's almost like a thankless profession in some ways, certainly when dealing with people with, you know, cholesterol or high blood pressure issues. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I can make a lot of people feel better when it comes to palpitations and atrial fibrillation, and overall they feel much better. But
right.
I can, you know, some of the orthopedic you know, doctors kind of kid around and like, oh, well, you know what? I mean, someone comes in, they have debilitating knee pain, and I do surgery, and then within a couple of weeks they feel like $1 million. Well, and then eventually
yeah.
that breaks down too, so...
Great. So listen, let's talk about your book. Now, you know, let's start with the diet. We're going to talk about diet, exercise, and supplements today. And what the diet, you say about paleo. Yeah, I have to tell you this funny story real quick before we start. And I had spoken to someone at it, a gym about it, and I said, oh, about the paleo diet. And they said, oh, I'm not a weightlifter. I don't need to do that.
Right.
So the misconception about the word paleo and even knowing how it could help them, I think if we could talk about that, what is the paleo diet and who do you think it can really help?
Well, the paleo diet or paleo nutrition is the original diet. It's what our ancestors ate for thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years. So when people say paleo is a fad, I'd say it's the original diet. Everything else is a fad that has come along.
Right.
And paleo really refers to, it's like the old Stone Age, or the time before agriculture came in and became so prevalent. It's what the hunter-gatherers did. And really the majority of human beings on the planet Earth were hunter-gatherers up until, you know, just a few hundred years ago. And we need to adapt that lifestyle into modern times. And when we eat those foods, we're going to get fantastic results. My patients have realized those results. There is tons of books and literature written on it. There are studies written on it. And, of course, I document all that in my book. And paleo is about eating. The foundation of my paleo pyramid in my book is vegetables. So Where paleo gets a bad rap sometimes is when people say, well, I eat, you know, meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, and you know, steak for dinner. That's not the idea.
Yeah.
Vegetables should be had with every meal. The point is everybody should be eating some amount of meat and or seafood. And that's really what I focus on. It's only two of the chapters out of the 17 chapters in my book where I'm talking about paleo, you know, nutrition. Nonetheless, it's definitely what, you know, worked for my patients for so many years.
It's so vitally important. You know, what goes in, it's got to be processed, and it's a taxing on the body. If it's not something that should be in there, then it needs to not be there in the first place, you know. It's sort of like pouring antifreeze in where your oil is supposed to go in your car. It's just not going to work. So, I mean, how many times can you do that wrong, and then you'll think you have to make a change? And sometimes we just don't notice it. The changes, you know, is what goes in our mouth is really affecting our body and how our heart health would be really affected, and it is. Let's talk about supplements. You talk about you have your top 20 supplements in the back, we all know what everybody would say. I'm not taking 20 supplements in one time, you know, or four times a day. So let's talk about supplements and why you think they're so vitally important.
Well, a lot of people ask me on Facebook or by email, and they say, well, if I'm eating a paleo diet, do I really need to take supplements? And real quick, the previous question also is that the paleo diet is for everybody. It's for,
yes,
you know, once you're done breastfeeding all the way to the end, maybe when you're in palliative care. That's what paleo is about. But when it comes back to supplements are there to supplement a good diet and a good lifestyle. And 1,000 years ago, when the earth was pure and not so polluted, you could live a very long, healthy life, and most people did, just by eating the foods that were common to hunter-gatherers. But nowadays, the air pollution, pesticides, hormones, environmental toxins, on and on, even in the best organic diet scenario. And in our house, we're not perfect paleo. We're pretty close, but we are always organic. We are always gluten-free and always soy-free, but the closer you get to 100% paleo, the better off your health is going to be. But even in that scenario, like I said, because of the aforementioned toxins, supplements are there to supplement that lifestyle. I talk about, you know, a top 20. Most people, really nobody has to take all 20 of those supplements, but I want to talk about them in my book. I show the evidence of how they work, of why they work, and the success I've had with my patients using those. But even a multivitamin has tons of literature on the benefits of multivitamins. And, of course, the individual components of a quality multivitamin has tons of literature on that. Greens drink every morning. Greens powders have evidence that they lower inflammation, one of the major risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Omega-3 fish oil. Probiotics, digestive enzymes. These are really the basics of what we need from a healthy supplements regimen to go along with our healthy diet and lifestyle.
You know, we see so many people getting on bandwagons. Sometimes they do the green drinks for 3-4 times a day, and then they forget about eating, and they miss a whole other slew of nutrition, and they wonder, why is my body hurting, or why are these things going wrong? Sometimes, you know, you really have to keep it in balance, because if you do too much green, you end up with a whole slew of other problems because you've forgotten some of the other nutrients, but also, too, you've overloaded in some of those that, you know, your body is not well equipped to be able to handle. And in your pyramid, in your book, you know, it's really all about balance. You've got to have all of those key things there. They are not there just to look at and say, oh, that's cool. They're there because they have a very specific reason. You know, I like to challenge people, write down on a sheet of paper what you ate yesterday. And they would write it down. And you would see things like, I had things like fettuccine alfredo or veal parmesan, or I had chicken salad. And, you know, when they write those things down, I would say, let's further break that down. Chicken salad, what does that mean? That means, oh, I don't know, it had chicken and some other stuff. What is the other stuff? and further break it down as far as you can to see what kind of nutrition you're actually getting. And a lot of times you can just go in there and check it off and say, I'm not really getting that much nutrition in my daily diet each day, and I did not even realize it.
Right, and that is a great challenge, you know, to people. Because people walk in, and maybe they're significantly overweight, and they say,
yeah.
"Oh, I swear I'm not eating this," or I swear
right.
I'm following paleo, and I'm eating a healthy lifestyle. And I say, "Okay, what do you have for breakfast?" And then invariably, the smile kind of creeps across their face, and they're like, "Well, this morning I had pancakes with syrup, or this morning I had French toast, or." You know, this morning I had a big bowl of sugary cereal. And you catch people in their tracks, and I think that goes a long way towards opening up the doctor-patient relationship and saying, okay, let's really get into this here so we can identify what the problems are. And then we teach them that the sugar in the cereal, the gluten in the cereal, the corn or the GMO is the genetically modified foods that we're eating, and then it opens up the opportunity to talk about the damage. And then once people understand the damage from those things, then it's on them, because now they've learned, they've been informed. And if they're not going to follow it from there, you know, it's all on them. It's their fault, but they've been forewarned. It's just like a smoker who, obviously, everyone who smokes in America today knows how harmful it is. Frankly, we don't even need to educate those people anymore. They know it. And it's up to them to make a difference. And same thing when it comes to nutrition.
Let's talk about one or two of the supplements, CoQ10, and the importance of that.
Well, CoQ10, I like to think of as the shovel that moves the coal into the furnace. The coal is the energy, but what moves the energy along inside the cell is CoQ10. And it is very beneficial regarding inflammation, regarding heart function, even in blood pressure control. CoQ10 supplementation is shown to be beneficial. But maybe the single most important place for it is for those people that are on statin drugs. And I'll be frank with you, my goal with my patients is to get them off statin drugs. But if they are on statins, we make sure they're on high-dose CoQ10, because statin drugs deplete the production of CoQ10, and low levels of CoQ10 are associated with congestive heart failure, hypertension, inflammation, etc. So it's really an important nutrient. It comes in a couple different forms. It comes in ubiquinol form and ubiquinone form. A lot of sources and people recommend the ubiquinol form, and I do also. But that being said, most of the literature is on the ubiquinone form, which happens to be a lot cheaper, and it was very effective in that literature, but it may be, especially as we get older, the more active, usable form of ubiquinol is what we want to choose. People that do heavy exercise, heavy physical activity, they may do well also with CoQ10 supplementation.
Let's talk about vitamin D and calcium. You know, you live in sunny land as ever of Arizona. I live in the deep south. There's a lot of sun here. And still people will say, should I be taking vitamin D or not?
Well, I think, you know, really the first thing we need to do is check someone's levels of vitamin D.
Right.
And by the way, CoQ10 levels can be checked also. But vitamin D levels should be checked. And if they are below 50, it is my preference to supplement those people with vitamin D. I think calcium, aside from maybe a small amount in a multivitamin, we do not need to supplement with calcium, and I talk about that in my book, The Reasons Why. We can get plenty of calcium from our food, from green leafy vegetables is a fantastic source. Eating sardines and wild salmon are a great source of calcium, because it's in those bones of those fish. Anchovies, phenomenal way to get not only omega-3, fats into our diet, but also those bones in there. But vitamin D is very important. But if you take vitamin D, you always want to make sure you're taking vitamin K, preferably as vitamin K2. And really, K2 is what keeps the calcium in the bones and out of the heart arteries.
And, you know, we always say, well, the doctors will say, well, K2 is provided by your body, but there's a lot of conversion that doesn't always happen in your body because you might have something going on in your stomach and, you know, in your intestines, but who even knows about that anymore? And we talk about leaky gut. So right there, I just took you down a rabbit hole that people would say, I don't get any of that. I don't even know what any of that means. And the answer would be is really you need to start working from the inside out to try to heal your body. And the first thing is your intestines and your probiotics and making sure that your lining of your gut is really sealed up, because if it's not, no matter what you put down that tube, it's going to cause you issues and it's not going to do what you, quote, think it's going to do or what the literature says or what the next best multimedia person is saying. Because you can't just put it in, say it did it, trust it, know it, and test it, and it's all good to go. It's really about how it's broken down, how it's absorbed, and how it gets to the end factor.
Yes, I mean, that is so critically important. I talk about the gut very often in my book, and it's one of the first things that my wife taught me on the conversion into a natural cardiologist is the importance of the GI tract, and doctors just don't get it. We don't get any training in intestinal, you know, bacteria, intestinal flora, intestinal nutrients. We don't get any training in digestive enzymes. We don't get any training. All we do is push, you know, proton pump inhibitors like Protonix, Prevacid, and those kind of acid blockers that are so toxic to the system on so many levels. And I think that's why we see just an explosion of just about every disease today is because of the use of drugs like those. So I definitely agree with you that gastrointestinal health is really the foundation of total body health. And those supplements, probiotics, digestive enzymes, extra stomach acid, if needed, under the guidance of a qualified natural doctor, that's, you know, those are really the most important, because if you take those products, the probiotics, the digestive enzymes, you break down your food, so you will absorb it better. You will assimilate all those nutrients. And unfortunately, in society today, because people use so many antibiotics, there's antibiotics in meat, there's antibiotics in the water, all the other pharmaceuticals that people are taking, the environmental toxins, the fluoride in the drinking water, all this, the chlorine, all this stuff destroys the intestinal bacteria. And it's really, really causing a lot of damage in society.
And people will say, well, I really don't know what that's all about. Or even physicians will say that, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think it's vitally important to be able to say there are tests, which you have in your book of the top 20 blood tests. There are tests available to check the permeability of your gut. There are tests to check if your nutrients are getting where they need to be and if you're absorbing them, or how much omega-3 you have, or is your body even able to recognize the vitamin D? Is it making a difference? So if you could share a little bit about some of the tests, that would be great.
Yeah, I think, you know, the informed patient is the best patient. Get that kind of information. So often we see patients that come in and they just have this routine blood work that is so useless. That is from like the 1970s, right? The routine like CBC and CMP, the Comprehensive Metabolic Panel, and it tells you just some very, very basic rudimentary information. But yet there are amazing tests, and insurance often covers these tests. And provide it just so much in depth what's going on as far as heavy metals, mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, what's going on with markers of inflammation, genetic information. You can learn your entire genetic code from the website 23andme.com, and you take that $99 reading and you upload that into different websites, and you can find out all different, you know, food issues you may have, food sensitivities you may have, supplements that you need and supplements you should stay away from. We talked about leaky gut. We talked about, testing for bacterial quality, stool testing. It goes on and on and on. And when you go to see a natural doctor and you actually spend some extra money on that doctor so they can give you their full attention for a full complement of time. My first visit is 75 minutes. In some cases, we extend that out to 2 hours. And even then, Dr. Jeanette, you'd say, how can I learn about 50 years of history in this human being I'm talking to? How can I learn about that in 2 hours? You can't. I mean, even in 2 hours, let alone these doctors that try and do it in 10 minutes. But the reality is, for these doctors, they only need 10 minutes because they have nothing in their toolbox except for drugs. So all you need is a 10-minute visit because, Dr. Jeanette or any other, person comes in, well, your cholesterol is a little bit high, here's your statin drug, bye. That's all they have. And that's really sad for those physicians that that's all they have after years and years of schooling and the money for the schooling and the on-the-job training. All they are is glorified pill pushers.
I think it's really about expanding a toolbox. It's about expanding your toolbox and being open. And I think the biggest problem with healthcare right now is that they're, quote, not open. They believe that their paradigm is that which it is. And prove it to me. Well, do we believe religion? Do we believe we have hope? Do we believe that the sun will come up every day? Things like that. It's not always proof that we are going to get in our healthcare, but what we are going to know is that we are doing things better each day and making better choices. And really, that's what your book about is saying. Here's a lot of different areas that you can improve in. Here's the steps to be able to follow. And if you're not getting the results you need, well, maybe you need to go back and do some testing. And when you get that testing, then you'll say, goodness, I didn't know that this didn't work for me. Oh, my gosh, why is that not working? And how can I change it? And being able to have a proactive, plan together. Because really, you can, when you go to the doctor like you and I, when you spend that 2 hours, we're down all kinds of rabbit holes. I mean, you and I sometimes do you feel like they look at you like you're going, oh, my gosh, because we go off in so many different directions because the body is so interconnected that there's really nothing that's disconnected. If we believe that it's just this one spot we have to take care of, and we just look at focusing at that with one treatment or surgery or whatever and believe that the rest of the body is not connected, that's when we really get in trouble. That's when we really are leading the blind after the blind because, you're not willing to say that the body is an open organ and it's all flowing together. And that's really so important, as you say. Spend that time. If you don't have the time with your doctor, spend the time to figure it out for yourself and start finding out information like Dr. Jack's book. I mean, the paleo cardiologist, it has steps in there. One, two, three, do this, do this, do this, ask this. And that's what's important, don't you believe?
Yes, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, we spent so much time in medical school trying to pigeonhole diagnoses and to come up with putting labels on mm-hmm. diseases, and we say, well, this is liver disease and this is kidney disease and this is thyroid disease. Mm-hmm. Whenever, if we would have just learned from the day one, if we would have just walked in there and some professor said, okay, every symptom is from poor nutrition and chemicals.
Right.
That would just explain everything, and then you could have just said, okay, wow. I guess I don't need any further education. But instead, they go through, oh, these are 20 different skin lesions, and these are 30 different things, 30 different liver diseases, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. If we would learn, such simple, things right from the get-go, it would just really provide a good framework, for the future. But I have hope, because doctors like you and I, and certainly my wife out there, I think we're making a huge difference, and we're going to change, this country and this world to a healthier place.
And that brings us full circle right back to the beginning when we had this conversation, when you and I, and you were going, what is she talking about when she said, maybe we need to stop thinking about history and thinking about where we are and where we're going. Right back to that, because you know what it's really about, where are we right now and where are we going? Because check where you are today. See how your health is today, and if you don't like the picture that's printed in front of you, you can still have time to change it. You don't worry about the past. The past is the past. Go from here. Go forward.
That's well said. The past is the past. We're not here to beat up anybody about the past. We're talking about the future. We're talking about now, the future, making the changes you can to become a healthier you.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jack, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners your website and so people could find out more information about you and to find out about your book? That would be great.
Definitely. So my wife and I together are the Doctors Wolfson, and the website is thedoctorswolfson.com. Doctors is abbreviated, DRS. And then my medical practice website, where people come in from all over the world to seek my consultation, is WolfsonIntegrativeCardiology.com. And then, of course, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest and Instagram as The Doctors Wolfson. So make sure, if you're listening out there, to follow us on those avenues.
Well, it was great to have you with us. You know, I really think it's a great thing to be able to talk about the heart, because without it, we're not here. So, you know, it's really time people step up and say, I've got to take control of my own health. And that's what you and I try to do, is just plant some seeds. Hey, you know, if you're picking up that donuts for breakfast and fast food for lunch, maybe not, you know, maybe a good idea, right?
You got it. Definitely the truth.
Well, Dr. Jack, thank you so much for joining us. And if you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Jack, his website is on the bottom of today's show page. You could check it out. And his new book is The Paleo Cardiologist, The Natural Way to Heart Health. Please do check that out. We will continue in just a moment with the other part of the Wolfson pack, as I would call it, Dr. Heather Wolfson. She is a chiropractor, and she will be right with us. So please hold on, and we will be able to talk to Dr. Heather. Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness, getting tongue-tied today. It is great to have you with us. We are here on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and we will also be on Pyramid One Network. And it's great to have you with us. We're going to be talking about heart health today and how a chiropractor can help us. Oh, Lord, people are saying, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Isn't chiropractor just those people that always push on your back and you've got to go back 10 times a week? I am not really interested in that. I don't really even know what that means. So what am I going to do about it? And really what we're going to talk about is the importance. What is chiropractic medicine? Why is it important for my heart health? And as I said on the show with Dr. Jack, I really think of chiropractors as what I call angel helpers. You know, you think of angels and our body's supposed to be flowing. We're supposed to be free of any inhibitions. Our bodies and our joints should be working well. You know, our GI system should be running great. Well, sometimes we need help with that. And it's not always the drugs. Sometimes it's a chiropractor. And they just need to adjust our body, adjust the bones, push a muscle over, maybe make an organ, you know, just move it around a little bit and maybe it'll start working better. Hey, maybe all it needs is a little bit touch or a little bit push and things might be a whole lot easier. Wouldn't that be something? So let's talk about our heart health today. With my guest today is Dr. Heather Wolfson. She is a chiropractor in Arizona, and she's an advocate who believes in the structure of our body. And it's all about being able to make things flow. But she also talks about the awareness of toxins and dangerous chemicals. That's really on her top list. You know, we talk about awareness, avoidance, and removal of toxins. People say, what are toxins? I don't know what that is, you know. My doctor said, I'll say this, and there was a piece in the paper, and it said, it was from a doctor, and he said, my people do not need to drink green drinks. The body was made to detox itself. You don't have to give it any help. So, Dr. Heather, did you just do that too? Dr. Heather, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Did you just go, to that too?
Sure. Speaking of green drinks, we all, you know, drank this morning. Our 8-year-old and 3-year-old, the first thing they drink in the morning is our greens drink. We actually formulated one ourselves. It's an organic greens product, and I believe it's the best way to start your day off. especially children today, they're not getting the right amount of fruits and vegetables in their diets, specifically vegetables. Usually kids have plenty of fruit because it's sweet and it tastes good to them, but it's the vegetables that we need to get down. And in this polluted world, there's no better way to get the antioxidants into our system is through a greens drink in the morning. So we do that every morning, and we kind of make it a game, and we choose different color straws, and we have glass straws that we drink out of, and each kid chooses their color for their superhero of the week that they choose, and it's an easy way to get the greens down your kids, and even the adults. Sometimes, you know, we don't want to drink it every morning, but we know it's the best way to start off our day.
Dr. Heather, let's talk about what is chiropractic medicine, because so many people say, as I've said in the beginning, it's just pushing grind of those or popping of the bones, you know? Or, hey, you know, I know my back is hurting. My mother walks on my back too, and I'm good to go. Tell us a little bit about chiropractic and what it really is.
Well, I would love to have some of my pediatric patients here to answer that question for you. I see everything. The common cold to ear infections, and actually ear infections are one of my favorite ailments to treat. It's one of the most common complaints that parents go to a pediatrician for, and chiropractic care does wonders for it. If I was in front of an audience, I could show you the chiropractic spine chart. Out of every single segment of the spine comes a pair of spinal nerves, and those spinal nerves innervate every single cell, organ, and tissue in our body. And our brain sends signals through that spinal cord out to the rest of our body. And if we have interference in that nervous system, chiropractors call it a subluxation. when a spinal segment is misaligned or isn't moving freely, then we can have interference in those pathways. And if those pathways innervate our organs, our reproductive organs, our heart, our lungs, our liver, our kidneys, then we could suffer some consequences due to those subluxations. And a chiropractic adjustment helps correct those subluxations and allows free movement of the spine, allowing the signals to get from the brain down the spinal cord and out those spinal nerves. So when I adjust the child with an ear infection, for example, oftentimes you'll see a child come in, they'll have 104 fever, they are laying in their parents' arms, and they get down on the table. I adjust them, specifically the upper cervical spine area, and immediately their fever breaks, they feel better, the redness of the ear goes down, and they get up and they start playing, and you can see it right before your eyes. So chiropractic isn't just car accidents and headaches and low back pain. Of course, it's good for those ailments as well, but I like to treat different complaints such as ear infections, sore throats, and colds, and that type of thing.
You know, when we think about it, really, all of the diseases, or many of them, I'll phrase that, is all about a blockage. Similar to the heart, there's a blockage, and it's causing an increase in blood pressure, or it's causing a decrease in blood pressure, or it's causing the rhythm to go off, or the valve not to work. Similar to when you have an ear infection, things are not able to move through. They got blocked. Then the pain is when they have pressure, and the pain is when you have a blockage. Then you further have an increase in the blockage, and then you have an increase in inflammation. Sort of like the train is trying to go down that track, and you keep telling it has to, and it keeps hitting the wall. Well, eventually it's just going to say, I'm done with this, I'm over with this, and that's when your ears are just going crazy. Or that's in the instance of the heart, that's just when you have a massive heart event. So really about being able to take away that blockage and allow things to flow better, and being able to work a little bit better on its own is really the goal of chiropractic, and really should be the goal of all medicine. We just try to put different labels and different words on it so it can sound so much more eloquent and intelligent or whatever, but really it's all the same thought. Could you imagine medicine if we took away all the labels? Goodness, it would be all the same thing about getting things to nurture your body, get in what works, move around what doesn't, push the rest out. Isn't that really the basic story?
Certainly, and we believe in taking away what the body doesn't need and giving it what it does need. And labels such as, you know, the autoimmune diseases or any of these inflammatory, mm-hmm. Diseases, what we're doing is just putting labels, on the person. But what we need to get to is the cause of those labels. So if somebody has heart disease, if somebody has lupus, if somebody has cancer, what caused these diseases? The name, doesn't mm-hmm. really necessarily help us. What we do know is that it's from poor nutrition and chemicals. And if we give the body what it needs, the organic, natural, paleo foods, and we take away all the chemicals, whether it be dryer sheets, fabric softeners, vaccines, dairy, all the foods that we're not supposed to eat, and all the chemicals in our environment, then the body is allowed to heal. The body can't concentrate on healing if it's constantly bombarded with chemicals and poor nutrition. So as a chiropractor, we get to the, oftentimes DC, we say stands for doctor of cause, because we get to the cause of the problem. And of course, chiropractic care, is part of that wellness, foundation. We have to adjust the spine, certainly, but we also have to address the rest of the patient's world and their environment. So we need to consider what they're eating, what kind of mattress they're sleeping on. We spend a third of our life on our mattress, and our mattresses are extremely toxic. Children spend two-thirds of their life on their mattress. We recommend sleeping on natural organic latex rubber mattresses that do not emit or off-gas any chemicals, and they do not harbor dust mites. It's a great way to eliminate about a third of your chemicals in your life. So it's not just about chiropractic care. We do have to look at other areas of somebody's life.
Let's talk a little bit about toxins. What is a toxin? People say they don't understand it. They don't know what it means. And a toxin, to some people, they would think of a bad thing, like maybe battery acid or chemicals out in the water, or is something that you have to put in a red bag. They think of toxins like that. What is your version of a toxin?
Well, when we mentioned toxins, you just said something we have to put into a bag and conceal. I mean, we have amalgams in our mouth, the mercury amalgams. If you have that taken out at a dentist's office, they actually have to dispose of it in a special way. They can't just throw it into the garbage can. They have to basically call mm-hmm. a company that comes out to pick it up, and it's like a hazmat team that comes and picks up a mercury amalgam that was taken out of your mouth. But we find it okay to inject that into a newborn baby's body through vaccines. So there's so many chemicals in our environment. Newborn babies are born with over 300 detectable chemicals in their cord blood today. I think that's just a tragedy. And it's from everywhere, from our air, our food, our water, fluoride in the water. They're now just admitting that fluoride is a neurotoxin and that they have been overdosing human beings on fluoride in our public water system. We get chemicals from our air. We get chemicals from our food, the genetically modified foods are doused with Monsanto's Roundup, which is the weed killer, and they are able to spray massive amounts of this product on the genetically modified seeds because it was bred into their DNA to withstand it. So when we eat genetically modified foods, we are encountering even more pesticides than your average crop. And today, organic food, our grandparents used to call organic food food. It was just food back then. There were no chemicals on their food. Today, the term organic, a lot of people scoff at that name, that term, but it's in the least, we know that it cannot contain genetically modified organisms, and we know that they are not allowed to spray those pesticides on the foods. I think that it can go above and beyond organic. I don't think the USDA standards for organic is very strong or very strict. We grow our own food as much as we can in our backyard, and we used to have chickens, and we used to collect their eggs. Unfortunately, now we live in a HOA that restricts us from having them, but I think everybody needs to be responsible for their food and what they consume. I just showed my 8-year-old a video this morning about a cow, a dairy cow. They're inseminated to have a baby. The baby is taken away within 30 minutes, and that cow was milked to death for the rest of her life. And we have to know where our food comes from. And that baby cow is sent off to either a veal farm or a very sad life in a crate. So we need to know where our food comes from, and we need to be responsible for what we're eating. And those animals.
Well, and a lot of people. you know, a lot of people, I have, my nephew is an organic farmer, and he's up in the Northeast. And really, that's about preaching to the choir there. A lot of people eat like that. They understand it. Everything's good to go. But when you start speaking to people who really don't understand the words, I really think that's where the real richness occurs, because it's really about teaching basics and saying, look at things. It's sort of really opening up a new concept to an adult just as well as you would a child, and how important that is in the world today, because so much of medicine has really been tunnel vision. And right now we're really just expanding it and saying there are other ways of thinking and there are other ways of looking at things. And the internet has really brought that about. I mean, just the other day I was watching a show, and the person on the show said, that's the first time I was ever on an airplane. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds so strange. You know, because so many of us, it's very common for us to fly.
Right.
And you have to really appreciate that we really speak so much to everyone on this show. And it's all about saying, you know, there's things to look at and say, I didn't know that. I'll look that up, or I'm going to check that out. And that's so vitally important that everybody just hear and understand and say, I don't know what that really means. Let's talk about today about chiropractic and about adjustments, how they can help your heart health. You know, I can, so many times, I mean, I worked in a dental office that was right next door to the chiropractic office. It was husband and wife. And everybody would go into the chiropractor for adjustments before or after their dental work was done. And, you know, as you just adjust any part of the body, the rest of the body, I just call it like a domino effect. Everything seems to align. So if you were really fearful in the dentist chair, or you've really been having a lot of stress, or it really wasn't up for you, your upper body and your shoulders and your chest can just become so frozen. You go into the chiropractor, they adjust you, and they're just like a whole other world. You know, I've even had people say, oh my gosh, I saw stars and another world opened up. I'm sure you've probably heard that before, you know, if you've, in many decades of working. So can you tell us a little bit about heart and how chiropractic might help in that?
Sure. Well, you mentioned, you know, even going to a dentist, a simple thing is sitting in a chair. You could be there a couple hours. And I always recommend for patients to go straight to their chiropractor after an event like that. And just the stress alone, a lot of my patients ask, why do I misalign, or why can't I hold my adjustments longer?
Right.
Children, and there's a long list of things, you know, that happen just from, you know, you can be sitting in a dentist chair for 2 hours, or it could be the chemicals in our food. It could be stress about going to the dentist. Just the fear alone can cause subluxation and stress in our spine. And to be adjusted regularly is wonderful. The first adjustment that a patient gets, it's always fun to adjust, you know, let's say a 10-year-old who's never been adjusted before, or a 30-year-old who's never been adjusted before, because that's where we see the most significant experience when they're adjusted for the first time. And I usually explain to them that they're going to go home, and maybe, you know, that 10-year-old who doesn't nap anymore, they might take a 3-hour nap when they go home, because when our body, when we sleep, our body heals, and the adjustment puts the body into a healing state. So when they witness that, it's really, they're witnessing firsthand how amazing the body is and how we heal ourselves. And we have lost touch with the innate power of the body healing itself. It's, you scratch your skin and you don't need a Band-Aid or any chemical to put on top of it to heal it. Your body is going to make a scab and it's going to heal. And we've lost sight of that way of treating our patients, especially children, and the amount of fever reducers we give and all of these medications we give to our children. I have a 3- and an 8-year-old who not only were born at home, so they didn't have any chemicals in their body from birth, but they weren't vaccinated, they've never had a prescription med or an over-the-counter medication. And I allow them to have a fever, because that's the body's way of raising the temperature in the body to make it not an easy, you know, place for the virus or bacteria to survive. So if we reduce that fever, we allow that virus or that bacteria to thrive and may go deeper into, you know, a part of our body that we don't want it. We know that a lot of diseases today are caused by viruses, and maybe they're these viruses that we're not killing off efficiently but because we're reducing our fevers and taking medications. My husband's father used to say, you know, give a patient an antibiotic and they'll heal in a week, and let the body heal by itself and they'll heal in 7 days. So our bodies are miraculous, and we need chiropractic care to heal. My husband used to send me cardiac patients all the time. I would say half the people that walk into a cardiologist's office have a rib that's misaligned, causing chest pain, and
right.
they think that it's cardiac related or acid mm-hmm. reflux and heartburn. Well, you know, after we adjust them and they feel better, their heart, you know, their chest pain goes away. We know that it wasn't cardiac. And I wish people would, you know, seek chiropractic care on a regular basis. Not necessarily saying if you have chest pain to go to your chiropractor immediately, but it's a great, you know, place to start, and that would prevent a lot of needless visits to the ER or to your cardiologist.
But also, too, the fact that a lot of people go to the emergency room and they say, I don't know what's wrong with you, you know, that old pattern.
Sure.
And then people go out and they say, oh, well, you know, hey, he said I'm good. He didn't find anything. That doesn't mean you're good to go. That means that in his scope of his tools and his parameters or his procedures, he didn't find anything that was out of norm. And he's not going to do a bunch of other tests to go looking on a fishing expedition. So really, whatever is bothering you in your body, mind, or spirit, something is there, and it just didn't show up on his radar. And
sure,
it's so important to look at that.
Sure. They're not trained in that capacity either. So when a child is brought to the ER with certain symptoms that are definitely mm-hmm. correlated to vaccine side effects,
right.
They're not trained to look for that. So those side effects and those cases aren't going to get reported, you know, as such, you know, to
uh-huh.
VAERS, to the reporting agency. So when you go in with chest pain, if they didn't find anything wrong with your heart, they're not going to find that you have a rib that's misaligned causing that pain. They're not going to find out that you have
mm-hmm.
hypochlorhydria, which is not enough stomach acid, causing acid reflux and heartburn that's causing those, you know, problems, the sensation that you have a cardiac event. So as a chiropractor, we're trained to see those symptoms as something that's going on with either their spine, the structure of their rib cage, looking at their diet and how they digest their food and whether they need a digestive enzyme. Typically, heartburn and acid reflux resolves within 24 hours of giving them betaine hydrochloric acid, which is the opposite of what the standard medical practice would do. They would be giving a proton pump inhibitor, which inhibits the production of stomach acid. So we need stomach acid to digest our food and assimilate and break down our nutrients. And we're finding a lot of people, especially 50 and over, suffer from hypochlorhydria, but they're all taking proton pump inhibitors, reducing further the small amount of stomach acid that they have. Instead, they need to be taking betaine hydrochloric acid. And a lot of these people with heartburn, they have chest complaints, and a lot of times they think it's cardiac. So,
yeah, and it's not always the drug that's the answer, because as I've said on the show with Dr. Jack, is sometimes when you go into a physician and you have a complaint, it's sort of like hammering down the top of the can. And eventually you get so many drugs hammering down the top of the can that the bottom of the can explodes. And what that really is the bottom of your heart explodes. In other words, you just can't keep holding it in. And a lot of times, you know, we have to look at the mental and emotional, because chiropractic does release a lot of that also. Because mental, emotional, you know, maybe your heart event is just something, as we've called before, broken heart. Or, you know, you just, energy is just, I've been trying to deal with this, and I can't anymore. And a lot of times people create what they say, create your own heart events, you know. What you're really doing, though, is that you're trying to hold back things instead of releasing them as you go and hold on to them for a big event at the end. In other words, do we all want to run our lives, and when we get to that cement wall, say, oh, I just can't wait, and just smash into it and be done with it? Really? You know, it's all about being able to release along the lines and be able to have a better quality of life.
Correct. And when I see patients, my adult patients or even children, if they're on pharmaceuticals, I explain to them that we can't heal your body. you have poison in there. And we all have, mm-hmm. we describe it as a bucket. And your bucket might be a different size than my bucket. And when that bucket's full, it's going to tip. And when it tips, that's when we can manifest different symptoms in the form mm-hmm. of the labels they call diseases. And when that bucket tips, it's more difficult to reverse the disease. So we, you know, Jack left a very large cardiology practice to go out on his own to do the exact opposite of what he was doing before, which he was just, as he calls himself, a pill pusher, like the rest of the world, because that's mm-hmm. how they're trained. Trained in pharmaceuticals and procedures, and that's all they know. So they're not going to offer any advice. And in fact, I'll usually put down any other advice, such as chiropractic care or any type of nutritional supplement. Well, he sees in his practice every day now what he does, and he is able to take people off of their pharmaceuticals and give their bodies what they do need to heal. And it happens every day in his office and in every chiropractor's office around the world. We see it firsthand. We see what we do on a daily basis. And the best people to interview are these kids. I see kids all the time who, you know, they tell their parents now when they need an adjustment, and they want to make sure that their food is clean and they're not eating chemicals and drinking chemicals and breathing chemicals. It's the children that we need to make aware to start a new generation of patients who are going to say no to pharmaceuticals.
It's so funny. My 25-year-old daughter, she does that constantly because she grew up that way, you know, with adjustments and things. And she would always go to her friends. She'd say, oh, adjust my back. Oh, adjust my back. And they're like, oh, this girl is driving me crazy, you know. But then all of her other friends, you know, are doing the different path. And she says, but I've never taken any drugs and I don't plan on. Even my husband, he's 58, and he will go to work with all of his friends and, that you know, over lunch, love a conversation. Oh, my doctor just changed my drug, or I've got to go for this surgery, or, you know, oh, there's this preventative test they said I've got to go to the hospital for. And he just looks at them like they're crazy. And they will ask him a question, well, what drugs do you take? He says, I haven't, I never have, and I don't plan on. What testing do you get done? I don't have any of that testing to get done. I don't do that invasive stuff in the hospital. Or things like, well, what's wrong with you? And he says, nothing. And every single person in the whole restaurant can stand up and say, I'm on 4 to 5 drugs if I'm over the age of 50. So it really is something that we're going kind of like going up the mountain with their fingernails kind of idea, that people would maybe understand this concept. But I think it's all about awakening and saying, you know, I don't need to do it for myself, and really worry about your own health.
Right. And our tagline is awakening the world to wellness. And when people who are over 50, they expect that right. they are going to be on a handful yes. of medications. It's the norm. Yep. And today, it's not people over there in their 50s, it's children. And they're putting children on statin yep. drugs, and they're putting children on all different, you know, types of medications, whether they have attention, you know, problems, learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. But they're putting them on drugs, you know, as toddlers today. You wouldn't believe what I see in my practice. I have little babies on proton pump inhibitors, the PPIs, for acid reflux, when in fact it's because, one, they're most likely not nursed, so they're reacting right. to the formula. Number two, if they are nursed, it's what the mother's eating. And three, they need probiotics. There hasn't right. been a kid yet that I haven't fixed their acid reflux with chiropractic care and probiotics and changing the mother's nursing diet, because that's what's causing their reflux. But the medical doctor ignores the cause, and they just figure, let's get rid of all the acid to fix the problem. So we are creating a very sick population of children, and we are seeing more and more children with cancers, autoimmune disease. It's very scary. It's a very mm-hmm. scary time to be living.
I think really what they're looking at is doing end care treatment. You know, this is the end picture. What do I do to change the picture? And that really how I got here. Let's talk a little bit about chiropractic and the emotional part, because that does make a difference. And when people say, oh, but she's just adjusting my back, she's just pushing my bones, but really she's allowing, as in Chinese medicine, you're allowing your qi to flow, and your nerves are flowing differently, the blood vessels are able to open up, a whole host of other things occur. So can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Chiropractic can affect a patient on so many levels. I've treated, I'd say, maybe a handful of adults who just start crying mm-hmm. after a chiropractic adjustment.
Right.
They don't know why. And I say to them that it's normal, and they feel better emotionally afterwards. It releases, you know, it releases maybe feelings from childhood or experiences. There are so many different levels that you can experience a chiropractic adjustment on, and it's very normal to feel that way. And most patients who experience emotional responses from chiropractic care, mm-hmm. I find, have the best results, and the ones who don't use
yeah.
it or wait till they have a headache or back pain, who use it more on a spiritual level, I think they do get the best results. Again, like you said, it opens up blood vessels. We affect changes in
mm-hmm.
the brain by adjusting the spine. I can adjust a joint in your wrist and affect changes in your brain, the plasticity of our brain. We can make many changes on a chiropractic level in the brain. So this is not just for low back pain and neck pain. It's really an amazing form of healing. And as my father, he's a chiropractor, he used to say, you know, chiropractic is the science, philosophy, and art of all things natural. And it involves so many different levels of healing that take place in the body that we have studied and things that we haven't studied. We only even know, you know, 10% of how the brain works. We probably don't even know, you know, we know a lot about chiropractic. There's plenty of studies on what it does, but I think that there's probably 90% that we don't know how it affects, and it's the effects are always positive that we see. So chiropractic care should be utilized for anything from aches and pains to emotional.
And what I think so too, you know, we always look at acupuncture. You know, I do acupuncture myself, and we always say about the chi in the body, and when we meditate, we say we are going to just, you know, clear our mind and put us in a better place. We're all willing to accept some of these ideas. So with chiropractic, it's just asking you to accept it further, because it's really all the same circle, you know. It is not out of the circle. It's all in the same circle about having your body be able to flow and to move better. Nutrition is about putting in the good nutrients and having your body heal and having the organs work well and giving it the chemicals and the nutrients that it needs to be able to function. And then also, you know, with chiropractic, it's about being able to open up the space. If something is really out of alignment, you like to liken it to a car, you know. If you have one bearing that's going out on a tire, you'll notice your car is always pulling and grinding on that side. Well, how long are you going to stand for that before you do something about it? But yet we go on with our bodies and we keep saying, oh, I'll take an aspirin. Oh, I'll take something else. I've got to be here. I've got to do that. Or, you know, my kids need this. Or, oh my gosh, work is so important. I couldn't possibly stop. Yet we would in our car, but we simply wouldn't with our body. It's such a different contrast.
It is. It's a great analogy. We use it all the time in chiropractic care. If the dummy lights on your car go off, and it's flashing, you know, a red light saying that you need your oil changed, are you
mm-hmm.
going to take black tape and put it over that light so you don't see it
right.
anymore? Or are you going to get your oil changed? So when we have something wrong with our body, are we going to take an Advil to cover up the body's warning sign that something's wrong
right.
here? We need to find out what that is. So instead of ignoring it and continue to take Advil or Tylenol or aspirin or whatever we're using to cover up the symptoms, why not seek out a natural health care provider who will find out the cause of those symptoms? Because symptoms are actually the last sign of disease, or as chiropractors call it, dis-ease, lack of harmony within the body. Symptoms are the last sign. We don't wake up with cancer. We don't wake up with heart disease. It's a slow process that grows inside of our body, and then we develop symptoms. So we don't want to wait till we have symptoms. We don't want to wait till the red light goes off for the oil change in our body. We want to be proactive, and we want to seek chiropractic care and other natural health care providers to prevent disease. We want to eat healthy, not after we were diagnosed with cancer, but before. We want to you know, find out the difference between, you know, a farmer who takes the baby cow away from, you know, the mother early on, or the farmer who leaves the baby cow with the mother, and then you're able to have some milk from that cow. You have to educate yourself. You have to learn about health. It's complicated, and we describe it like the layers of an onion, and there are so many different layers, and we can talk for years about the different layers, and it's baby steps, and it's a journey, but it's what everybody needs to do, because this planet isn't getting healthier, and the people aren't getting healthier. They're getting sicker every day.
And it's all about taking little baby steps and listening to shows like this, where we try to plant a few seeds and say, it's okay if you don't understand the language. Just listen to a few concepts and check them out. Start looking up for yourself and asking your friends, saying, I listened to this show and they talked about this and I don't understand it. Can you tell me more? And that's what we're here to do, is about planting a few seeds, giving some ideas so you can check it out, but be able to have a better health, because it's all about your quality of life that's so vitally important. I mean, it's so funny. I have a lot of friends who talk about all this anti-aging stuff they do, but then they still are taking pharmaceuticals and they still don't do any of the healthy eating. And I'm thinking, I just don't get that, you know? And it's all about the mask that they wish or choose to present to the world. They're just not taking care of their inners. They want their outers to look perfect. And that's really not what you and I are talking about. We're talking about your really inner should shine out, and that should be what your outer looks like.
Correct. It's a fast food, fast, you know, cure society. We want everything now, today, and
yeah.
The best, you know, anti-aging medicine is to eat paleo and to stay away from sugar. Sugar is the best anti-aging remedy there is. And if we want to heal anything, whether it be cancer or wrinkles on our skin, you have to heal your gut. It starts from the gut. And if you heal your gut, you'll heal everything else. And that's where health starts and ends. So we need to make sure we have the right amount of good bacteria in our gut. We have to make sure that we're nourishing our insides with the proper foods instead of eating the foods that break down the lining of our gut, like gluten, sugar, and medications.
Right. You know, it's so funny. I have found, since I've been in healthcare it's over four decades now, but the mantra of no sugar, and when you tell people no sugar, if they're not inclined to this way of thinking, they will sit down at a table at a restaurant, and they will see all the packets in front of them, and they will see one that says sugar, and the others say other stuff. They'll say, oh, well, I can't have the white one because it says sugar. And then the people will pick up the other ones and say, does that say sugar? And they'll say no. They'll say, oh, okay, then I can have it. So now I've gotten to the point where I just say, don't even use those words. Because what they're doing is they're relating it in their mind to, if it doesn't say sugar on it, I can have it, you know, when really it's a chemical
yeah,
that's now in that packet. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I believe they're making a worse decision by choosing the chemical in
right.
the packet than the sugar. I would, you know, certainly choose the white table sugar over the chemical any day, but even some
right.
of these natural that we're seeing today, such as stevia, it's really tricking
mm-hmm.
the body into thinking that it got the sugar, and we see actually
yeah.
spikes of insulin either way, and the body's expecting that sugar, and it actually perpetuates the sugar craving. So I'm not a big fan of stevia. I'm not a big fan of any artificial or natural
mm-hmm.
Alternative sweetener. If you're going to eat, if you want something sweet, I say go ahead and eat it, the sugar, but in a natural form. So I recommend raw honey when possible, because, you know, it's not a good choice for any other
right.
any other sugar. And we find that even if we do the stevia or the natural sweetener that doesn't technically have sugar in there, it is going to feed that need for more sugar, and you're going to find yourself an hour later craving the sugar again.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Heather, we've come to the end of the show. It was a pleasure to have you with us. Could you share with the listeners your website for more information? That would be great.
Sure. So together, my husband and I are the Doctors Wolfson, and we have a website, the THEDRS Wolfson, WOLFSON, the Doctors Wolfson.com, and you can also find us both at wolfsonintegrativecardiology.com or on Facebook at the Doctors Wolfson and on Twitter as well.
Well, Dr. Heather, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. I think that we really shed a lot of light on what chiropractic is or isn't, and also that people don't have to be so afraid of it, because a lot of people will say, I don't quite get it, and I'm not going to go 20 times a week. So that's not all we've shared. It's more about being able to get your body back into flow and allowing it to be able to take care of itself. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Janelle. I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Heather Wolfson or Dr. Jack Wolfson, on the bottom of today's show page, there is a link directly to their website. It really is important about being able to take care of your health now before you wait till that event happens. So many people say, well, you know, man, I'm not going to make my health my full-time job. Really? If you don't do it, you're not going to have a full-time job, because when you get up to have cancer or if you get up to hit against the wall, then it is your full-time job. Sometimes it might be a little bit too late. So really what we're saying is don't let it be too late. So thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.